The reading's taken from Isaiah 59, starting at verse 20. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth, or from the mouths of your children, or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray. Father, thank you for your eternal and unchanging word. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak it afresh in each generation. And so, Lord, we thank you for these words that you inspired Isaiah to write all those centuries ago, and that you continue to speak them afresh to us now. So, Lord, open our ears, our minds, our hearts, our very souls to hear you speak, and for you to do a work of grace and life and power in our lives. Amen. So, as I said, Tuesday is the festival of the Epiphany, and that's a Greek word meaning manifestation, the bringing out into the open of the mystery of God. And Paul wrote in Colossians 1, 26-27, about the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we're celebrating the wonder of God choosing to reveal himself not just to the people that he'd been preparing ever since Abraham, but to the whole of humanity. And all through the prophets of the Old Testament, we see promises that from the Jews will come a light to the Gentiles. So as well as today's passage, we have just, for example, Isaiah 42, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Isaiah 49, it's too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I've kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. And what is the first indication we have of the fulfillment of that in the New Testament? Well, it's the bright shining light of the star guiding Magi from the east, asking, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So let's look at a bit more detail at this specific prophecy from Isaiah. Immediately before our reading in Isaiah 59, Isaiah had been talking about God's indignation at the state of the world. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. As Paul would later put it in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if God's master plan were to succeed, the mystery referred to, then he was going to have to implement it himself. Isaiah continues, so his own arm achieved salvation for him. and his own righteousness upheld him. And Isaiah is clear, there will be judgment on those who oppose God, but he is going to send the Redeemer. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and this Redeemer, who will be none other than his own son, will implement a new covenant between God and man, and that's the New Testament, the New Covenant. He is going to arrange matters such that he can put into his people his own Holy Spirit. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My Spirit, who is on you, will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children and on the lips of their descendants, from this time on and forever, says the Lord. Well, what an amazing promise that is. What a difference from the old law-based relationship where you step out of line, you get clobbered. This is God saying, I'm going to be working inside you. Jeremiah later put it like this, Jeremiah 24, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. The relationship between God and man will no longer be a matter of external obedience, but an internal one of love, with God himself at work inside you to enable you to respond to him. And how will this all come about? Well, chapter 60, our reading, addresses the question, because Isaiah is speaking simultaneously to God's Old Testament people in Israel, and more particularly to his representative, his son, sent to be born among them. He's saying effectively, the time has come, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Yes, true, the world is sunk in darkness, in sin, in ignorance. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. And Herod, for one, is plotting away in his fortress. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And that's what's happening at Bethlehem. Lo, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And here they are, these royal representatives of the Gentile nations have been drawn by a bright star to bow down and worship this baby. These are the first fruits of the new family of God. After them, generations and all sorts and conditions of humanity will come from afar. Your sons and your daughters, it said. These exotic foreign magi visiting Bethlehem are the start of an unstoppable worldwide movement of people proclaiming the praise of the Lord. The golden incense brought by the magi will be just the earnest of the wealth and riches of the nations that will be devoted to the service of God in the person of this his child over the succeeding generations. So, people of God, members of his family, lift up your eyes, look about you. As you gaze into the face of your loving Lord, as you see his glorious plan for humanity, doesn't that cause your heart to, as it says in verse 5, throb and swell with joy? As you realize that he has reached tenderly down and brought you too into his everlasting covenant, doesn't that cause you to be radiant? Well, come, my dear brothers and sisters, as we enter into this new year, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. All we have to do is reach out our arms in acceptance to the Redeemer who has come to Zion and be added to those in Jacob who repent of their sins. And we do that and we just say a prayer like this, which you might like to say amen to. Lord, I'm so sorry for the ways I've tried to live my life my way in self-reliance. I know that I can never, by my own efforts, be good enough for a perfect, holy God. But thank you, Heavenly Father, for gathering me up into your new covenant with humanity instead. Thank you, adorable Redeemer, Lord Jesus, for coming to live and die for me, and to break through the law of sin and death for eternity. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to live in my heart from this time on and forever. So, Lord God Almighty, shine through me now, through 2026, and forever. Amen. Amen.